Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, Shad and I are chatting with Steve Penny. He is the publisher of the Silver Chartist Report. We've been bringing Steve on a regular basis, and I really enjoy the way Steve breaks down the charts for not just precious metals, also a couple other commodities, which we will be dabbling into uranium today, and some trading strategies that Steve shares with his subscribers. I'm going to post a link below this interview where you can find more information on that Silver Chartist Report. I read over pretty much everything that Steve sends out, so I find it very, very valuable. Real level-headed look at the markets. Steve, you've sent us over a handful of charts here. We're going to start with a gold weekly chart going back to 2019. So the arguably really start of that strong leg higher in gold. You have a couple different technical factors here. We're going to start with this primary uptrend line because that is pretty crucial and critical to understand for what happened last week during that flash crash where gold really dropped about $100 and then recovered it quite quickly. And the most important thing being that it closed the week back above this primary uptrend line. Let's stay focused on this initially, Steve. What's critical to understand about all that wacky trading last week, but still this longer term uptrend?
Yeah, right when we got that big sell-off last Sunday evening, you know, I knew 1675 was the next support level, and that really had to hold. And sure enough, we came down to 1677, I think, was the low tick. And then the next objective from a bull case scenario would be to close the week back above that primary uptrend line that goes back to June of 2019. And we got that. So that weekly hammer candle is very encouraging. However, you know, you don't want to put all your eggs in that basket and say, hey, you know, the bottom's in just because of this one candle. However, it's a factor to consider. And I think, you know, I don't like to make predictions, but I think there's a decent probability here that the lows are in. And the key level to watch on the downside, everyone knows this probably, is 1675. We've got a triple bottom there. And if that level fails, that opens up the possibility for another $100 or more downside in gold. But for right now, the way things are looking, it's fairly constructive.
Well, Steve, you also have on that chart a inverse head and shoulders pattern that is technically still intact because it did close above that trend line at the same time as we're getting near a compression triangle from that 1920 down through 1837. So we have a lot of energy building for either that inverse head and shoulders or this compression triangle. You know, what are your thoughts here? Is it something where there's a lot of energy building up for a big move one way or the other?
I think that's exactly right. That's a perfect summary. These triangle patterns are, you know, they typically result in a really sharp move one way or the other. Now, more often than not, the break goes in the direction of the prevailing trend. And in this case, the trend is still up. So I think it's more likely we see an upside breakout. But these kind of setups are especially nice for traders because, you know, rather than making a prediction, you can have a strategy that goes along if-then logic. So you can say, hey, I'm going to go long here and place a stop loss right below that primary uptrend line. And that means your downside risk would be minimal relative to the potential upside. So that's just one strategy for, you know, shorter to intermediate term traders.
Steve, one other point that I just want you to break down here. When you have a longer term uptrend line, like the one dating back 2019 that you're pointing out here, but then a 1 year correction that has given up not even half of that whole run higher, what means more to you? Can you balance that out? Is it the longer term uptrend line or is it this shorter term bearish outlook?
Yeah, so as a general rule, the longer time frames take precedence over shorter time frames. So yeah, that longer term uptrend line is much more significant than the you know, the shorter term downtrend channel we have. Absolutely. That's a great point.
Now, I guess one other point being when you trade this, you even mentioned that, look, you can take a tight stop on something like that and ride it higher. How are you balancing out the, at least today and arguably through last week, the underperformance of the gold shares?
Yeah, you can make a compelling short-term bearish case here and a compelling short-term bullish case here. I mean, that's just the facts. It's always tempting as an analyst to make a prediction and say the lows are in, but yeah, that's a potential fly in the ointment that I'm looking at right now. You want to see the mining shares lead. They are typically a leading indicator, and they just haven't bounced the way that gold has and the metals have. So that's something to watch. That's a bearish condition to watch there.
Yeah, Steve, I was going to ask you a similar question on that. We saw, you know, just in the last month or two leading up to this, before that big washout last week, the miners really weren't playing along with the metals price. And even when the metals price traded sideways for a number of weeks, gold and silver really got stuck, you know, just sideways. The miners still were under pressure. And a lot of people thought, well, they'll catch up at one point, but they often are indicating, you know, front running like the direction of the metals. So right now, when we're seeing a bounce in the metals and the miners are still kind of stuck in the muck, what do you make of that?
Yeah, it's the same, just like Corey just said. I remember a couple weeks ago before this most recent sharp sell-off in our newsletter, putting the headline, you know, pathetic bounce in GDX is a warning signal. Well, that same warning signal is flashing again. So, you know, I would actually like to see price come back and retest the lows of last week, hold, and then bounce strongly from there. I don't rule that out at all. But really, we don't want to see new lows. We want to see the lows from last week hold. If we make new lows, lower lows from last week, I mean, that opens up the door to another sharp push lower over the short term here.
Final comment on this chart then, Steve. What about volume? Volumes are lower. It's summer. How does that impact any of your analysis?
Yeah, exactly. Whenever you see a significant candle like this bullish hammer, my eyes immediately go to the bottom of the chart, and you want to see that confirmed by above average volume. And we didn't really see that last week. It was just average volume. So, you know, volume isn't really telling us much there.
Okay, Steve, well, switching over to silver, you submitted us another chart, and there's a couple different points that just jump out at me. First one just being that silver is under the 200-day and 50-day moving average, which is not bullish. It's more bearish. It's also in a downward channel. You put some red lines on there that people that click on the chart will be able to see. That's a downward channel silver's been stuck in for at least the last few months since May to June. And then there's that strong support line in green that's got to hold kind of close to that $22 level. Walk us through, you know, what you see on this chart and what your expectations are moving forward.
Yeah, there are no patterns here that have a lot of predictive power, but they do give us some key levels to watch that we can make if-then statements. So if $22 support fails, you know, that opens up the door towards another push lower towards 18 or 19. I think that's relatively unlikely, but it's something we need to be aware of. Now, conversely, the key levels to watch on the upside are getting back above that 200-day moving average. From my perspective, that's the first step towards confirming a technical reversal. And then the second step would be making a higher high above the most recent swing high, which looks like it was July 6th at $26.91. So getting it back above the 200-day followed by 26.91 would give you a higher high back above the 200-day, and that could signal that the bottom is likely in. So, you know, those are the two scenarios I'm watching, 22 on the downside and about 26.91 on the upside.
So, Steve, do you take anything away from the fact that whether we're talking gold or silver, at least in a short-term sense, they're testing bottom of their ranges of support levels? Any similarities, anything you take away from that?
I'm sorry, similarities between gold and silver?
Yeah, in terms of it feels like we're talking in a sense that gold and silver both really need to hold here. If they both break, ooh, the floor could drop out from them. But if they hold, then you know what? There is still this longer term bullish sense. However, right now it really feels like precious metals investors are hoping for a hold. They have to.
Yeah, you're exactly right. These support levels have to hold. And if you're a trader, this is a compelling setup for you because, like I said, you can place a stop loss right below those support levels. I also view these levels as, you know, a great time to accumulate if you have a longer term time horizon, as long as you're mentally prepared for a little bit more downside. You know, if your time horizon is 2 to 5 years, I think these kind of pullbacks are gifts, even though we might go a little bit lower.
Steve, do you pay attention at all to things like golden crosses and death crosses? Because on the silver chart, it looks like when the 50-day is now falling below the 200-day that we've got a death cross setting up, and sometimes that's a bearish omen. Do you put any stock in that?
I do. A couple years ago, I did some pretty significant back tests on death crosses and golden crosses, which is the opposite. And one thing that jumped out to me is that when you get a death cross where the 50 crosses below a rising 200-day moving average, often it tends to be kind of like a bottoming signal, a buy signal almost. So right now, on looking at that 200-day moving average in silver, it's flat. I mean, if you really look with like your microscope, it's slightly upsloping. So you could make the case there that that's actually more of a bottoming signal than a bearish signal.
Okay. Hey, very interesting. It's something to consider for gold and silver investors. But again, that trading strategy, tight stop down at these levels can provide you with that upside and also that downside protection. Let's move over to uranium then. We're focusing here on the Global Uranium Mining ETF, URNM. What are you seeing in this chart, Steve? We see the rising 200-day. That's encouraging. The 50-day, though, is starting to turn over, kind of to your point about when that could be a bottoming signal. But you also have some pretty key support levels here. Share with us what you're focused on.
Yeah, the uranium sector, it's one of those sectors right now where I'm glad I look at the technicals as well, because from a fundamental perspective, I couldn't possibly be more bullish. I mean, the supply-demand fundamentals are extremely compelling in this sector. But when I look at the chart, there's a couple of warning signals here. And you know, you could make a case that this is like a stage three distribution top up here, where you see some higher volume selling. We're starting to see some lower lows. And you correctly pointed out, we're just above that 200-day moving average. So I'd look for that to hold. But if it fails, you know, you've got some key support levels down here that I wouldn't be surprised if we revisit that at all. So you got 48.59 on this ETF. And then below there, support all the way down at 38.50. So yeah, uranium is one of those sectors right now where it could go just a little bit lower from a purely technical perspective, even though the fundamentals are wildly bullish.
Steve, you also have on there the ARC support, or I guess the ARC resistance. And so it had a big ARC on the way up to that high of 71.27, but URNM could also be contained by that ARC on the way back down. Are you concerned that that would limit, at least in the medium term, some of the potential breakout potential for the uranium stocks?
Yeah, with that bearish ARC pattern there, the way those typically work is you get confirmation on the right hemisphere when it comes up and tests that as resistance, and it fails, then it price falls. So we haven't yet tested it on the right hemisphere yet. So if we rally a little bit, bounce, and then fail at that resistance and fall lower, you know, that would confirm that this bearish ARC pattern is valid and increase the likelihood that we pull back, you know, another 10-20%.
Okay. Steve, let's move it over to the final chart. This is energy fuels, the daily chart. We see, again, strong long-term support, as you have labeled there, and also the moving averages, especially the 200-day moving average, pretty much right at price right now. However, that moving average is moving higher. What do you think about energy fuels and the opportunity?
Yeah, a lot of the comments that we just made about silver and gold and precious metals would apply to the uranium sector, and specifically energy fuels here. And I highlighted energy fuels because it's kind of like a bellwether. You've got Cameco, Kazatomprom, and then little bit smaller cap is energy fuels. I know a lot of people track this stock. And we're sitting just above some key levels of support here. It's a confluence of support between 450 and 482. And if that fails, you know, that opens up the door towards a potential decline all the way down to around 350, which would be pretty sharp. But, you know, you could also make a case that we're very close to a bottom here. So just like in the precious metals, you could place a stop loss just below the recent lows and minimize your downside risk with plenty of upside potential. And I want to highlight here with the uranium sector, I don't want to sound bearish and get any uranium bulls angry at me. I couldn't possibly be more bullish on this sector over the, you know, next 2 to 5 years, call it. But the short term here, I'm just a little bit concerned.
Steve, in full disclosure, I'm a shareholder of Energy Fuel, so I'm also at that same point of optimism long-term, but concern short-term. But same question I asked about the past ARCs resistance. On this chart, it's almost complete. It's, you know, it's held it, it's tested it, and it's almost at the very end of that ARC. So same kind of question. With it being at that apex of where the ARC resistance is at the very end of the ARC and the moving averages and trend lines are coming up, couldn't it also be a point where that stock, you could be bullish on it if it breaks above that ARC support? Would that be more bullish to you, or would it be more bullish just to get above the 50-day moving average?
Yeah, getting above that ARC resistance would be a key technical breakthrough for sure, followed by the 50-day moving average. Those are the exact resistance levels I'd be watching. And I'll just tell you, I put out an alert to the premium members this morning regarding energy fuel, saying, hey, I feel like this is a compelling long-term entry point. I really do. However, I'm personally keeping a little bit of cash available just in case we pull back to that 350 level. And you might say, well, what's going to cause these stocks to fall another 10-20%? Again, I'm not predicting that, but you know, general equities markets are stretched, and if we get a 10% pullback in the broad markets, you know, that's probably going to affect some of our mining stocks, and we could see some bargains in the uranium and precious metal sector if that happens.
Yeah, very true. Hey, you're not alone in saying that having cash right now is a good strategy for investors and maybe dabbling into some stocks, but also being aware that you could see some lower prices for a number of different reasons. And that's even what the charts are telling us too. So, hey, Steve, it's great chatting with you. Always interesting. I always appreciate the charts that you send over. I know a lot of our listeners really appreciate it as well. If you guys want us to cover any certain sectors or want Steve's insights in any other, areas or any other charts, feel free to email us or comment fleck@kereport.com and chad@kereport.com. We're happy to get those in front of Steve for some of our future calls. Steve, thanks as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again in another couple weeks.
You bet. Thanks, guys.